Tali, Yom HaShoah. Firstly, before we talk about Yom HaShoah, what were your thoughts around what Simon Plaska from Honest Reporting was saying?
Yeah, so it's interesting because I was actually in the United States during this whole thing. And I think what is really shocking is, first of all, not recognizing anti-Semitism when it is, why Trump is with a kippah, why, you know, leading a dog, you know, all those symbols that are... I mean, this is anti-Semitism ABC, 1, 2, 3.
101, yeah.
Not recognizing it. And the other thing that I mentioned to you before is that, we see anti-Semitism from both sides. So on the same days, we have a shooting, in San Diego, you know, hate crime, right-wing, fascist, hate crime. That we should maybe call terrorist attack. I mean, we don't call it terrorist attack. This is a terrorist attack, you know, 100%. Against synagogue, Passover. So you have from the right wing anti-Semitism, and at the same time, almost the same days, you have anti-Semitism from the left. And for me, that is a worry that we need to look and be aware that it can come from all sides.
You know, and you never know where something comes from. I mean, there was a Chabad rabbi who was attacked in New York yesterday morning. Rabbi Uriel Vigler, he was physically threatened and verbally attacked on his way to Shacharit yesterday morning, New York time. It was last night, South Africa time, on Lexington Avenue in New York City. The assailant also made anti-Semitic remarks before he ran away. Now, if the media is spouting this racist rhetoric and hate, at what point does the silent majority stand up and say enough?
So we certainly have to be awake.
Majority.
Yeah, we certainly have to be awake and also not be ignorant of the fact that it is a global threat around anti-Semitism. So it's not only the United States, Europe, rising anti-Semitism, and in many, many other places. So just connect the dots, try and see that there is something going on that is perhaps more sinister than what we think.
Tali, I'm just going way out of line here, but this is something that I feel very strongly about and very passionately about. And yet the more I think about it and the more I read about it, I'm beginning to think that anti-Semitism actually isn't a Jewish problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to me that we just, the butt of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much we can actually do about it, because there are those of us who think, oh, well, if you wear a strimal and a black jacket, well, maybe you look too Jewish, so we'll look at – it doesn't seem to matter how you look, where you live, how observant you are, how unobservant you are. It just doesn't matter.
You know who understood that so well? Adolf Hitler.
And in a way –
you didn't distinguish between different types of Jews. It was all Jews.
Yeah.
If you were Jewish – in your matrilineal line, absolutely, going back two generations, you went to the chambers.
Absolutely. And what I mentioned to both of you before, what worries me is the rise of othering in the world. And anti-Semitism is always this canary in the mine. It's a sign, it's a warning for all the world, all of humanity, that bad clouds are coming. And othering of every sort is here. So we do need
just
to be aware.
Just explain othering.
So othering, if it is xenophobia in South Africa or racism, it can be, you know, against Muslims and shooting in New Zealand or Christians and shooting in Sri Lanka. But what I'm trying to say is not put them all in one box. What I'm saying is hate rhetoric against the other. Whatever the other is on the rise. And let me use the Primo Levi words. Primo Levi was, because I want to connect to Yom HaShoah and to memory, Primo Levi was an Auschwitz survivor. He was a writer, he was a chemist, said he committed suicide in 1987. And Primo Levi said many, many things that we should remember. The one is that, othering or hate crimes or violence can happen anywhere if the sort of context is right. And one more thing that he said as a warning is the stranger is always the enemy. And his words are really scary, because it does not matter who the stranger is. You said shtremel or looking like that or looking like that. The stranger, the other, is always is our enemy, and we are against him.
Controversial question. Just, have you guys failed? You being the Holocaust educators that for the last 50 years. No, we talk about, come on, be fair. We've spoken about how many billions have gone into museums in Washington and all over Europe, and it seems to have made absolutely no difference
so
whatsoever.
So Holocaust is a very new, Holocaust education is quite a new phenomena. The memorial in Berlin is only in 2005. The museum in Washington is in the mid 90s. So as a phenomena, we are a new phenomena that trying to say something that is quite important. Genocide, Holocaust, human rights education in the last only 20 years or maybe 15 years is trying to say, look at the past in order to learn for the present and the future. And for example, the Holocaust and Genocide Center in Johannesburg, but also in Durban and Cape Town, we are working together, is trying to say we are not only remembering the past and educating about the past, we want to learn lessons for humanity from that past. So I think we're doing it, but we only started. Our institution officially opened a month ago. So I do think that there is a lot of work, more work, and we need to do that work.
Why are there two separate days? The one is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which was established by the United Nations. That's usually around about January 19th.
It's the 27th of January, the day of liberation of Auschwitz.
Right. And then there's Yom HaShoah. Why are the two different days?
So Yom HaShoah, that we will commemorate from tonight and throughout tomorrow, was a Jewish commemoration. It was done on the day, the Hebrew calendar day of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. We all know that Warsaw Ghetto was the largest ghetto in Nazi Germany. About 500,000 Jews were kept inside the ghetto from November 1940 until its liquidation after the uprising in May of 1943. The uprising inside the ghetto that was for 5 weeks unbelievable, you know, led by young people that fought against the Nazis, of course, in a way failed. But did it fail? Because they knew that it was a choiceless choice. They knew they will die. They knew they will not defeat the Nazis, but they chose to rebel. They chose to start this uprising. When Israel was born and Yad Vashem was established in the 1950s, they really needed a day of commemoration, and that day was chosen, the day of the uprising, the beginning of the uprising. So that is quite amazing. What is amazing is that in 2005, the United Nations dedicated the 27th of January, Auschwitz Liberation Day, to be the global day of commemoration. And that day is kept all over the world.
Yeah.
Always on the 27th of January, from Senegal to Rwanda to, you know, Japan to South Africa. We remember the Holocaust on that day.
Still have Tali Nates with us. Tali is the executive director of the Holocaust and Genocide Center here in Johannesburg. And we're speaking about commemoration of Yom HaShoah, which is Holocaust Day Remembrance, which is happening worldwide tomorrow.
There are special events happening in Joburg, though. So we'll get to those details. You are a child of two Holocaust survivors. What did you learn from your parents that have what did your parents teach you about humanity, Tali?
So specifically, I'll speak about my dad because, of course, he was a child. He was 14 years old when the war started, and in his town in Poland, when the Nazis came in, he was taken amongst, you know, the first groups of men and boys. And then he spent the war in four different concentration camps. Of course, was saved by Oskar Schindler, was part of his list together with his brother. My father, Moses Turner, my uncle, Henrik Turner, that owed their lives to a German, to a member of the Nazi party. You know, Oskar Schindler started as a perpetrator and really changed through the war to become this righteous amongst the nations that we know. Yeah. But, you know, my father, what did he speak about humanity? And I think that was very, very important for me growing up. Because for him, you cannot put people in boxes. Because if you put people in boxes...
Why is she talking to me?
Because Simon, you spoke about that.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to...
No, you just said a Wehrmacht officer saved your father. Exactly. I mean, that just... that's the ultimate box breaker.
That basically made a decision to save people. And he saved 1,000 men, women, and children. So for me growing up, he always, my dad spoke about choices, about people have choices. He always said, I'm alive because of a German. I'm alive because of a Nazi. You are alive because of that. And I can do the work because of that.
And Oskar Schindler made a different choice.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And he moved. He didn't start there. But I think that is an amazing lesson that I learned as I was growing up. And both my mom is still alive. She's 93 years old. And both of them believed in humanity. They did not, you know, lose hope. That we can learn, that we can change, that we can make a difference. I think that I learned the value of education, the value of trying to make a difference. And Yom HaShoah that we are going to commemorate tomorrow is one of those days that we ask people to reflect and to learn. And to listen, and I hope that people will come to the cemetery, the West Park Cemetery tomorrow, because this is an opportunity to listen to a Holocaust survivor. So few are with us.
Before we give the details, and this is your opportunity to go and get a pen and paper to write down all the details about what's happening tomorrow for Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust memorial ceremony at West Park Cemetery. But if I think about it, Tully, since 1939. There has been Rwanda, there's been Guatemala, there's been Sudan, there's been Vietnam, there's been Namibia with the Herero. That was actually pre-1939.
Yeah.
That was
earlier.
It just goes on and on and on. What are we not doing? Because whatever we're not doing, we need to do it.
Absolutely. And I think it's true that genocide existed before there was a word. The word only was invented in 1944 by Raphael Lemkin. So actually during the Holocaust, there was no word to describe what was going on. Only towards the end of it, there was. So what are we doing and what are we not doing? And maybe to connect to Simon's comment before of, are we doing enough of what we are doing? I think we need to recognize the warning signs. Mm. And that is something that was only developed in the last few years to actually understand the 10 stages of genocide. Can we recognize the early stages when it's dehumanization, when it is othering, when there is signs
the
of exactly the
you're
us
not
and
one
them,
of us.
And also organizational when governments or militias are sort of starting to target the other, laws are being developed. So there are 10 stages that needs to be recognized. Sometimes they are and sometimes they are not. And I think Rwanda is a very, very good case where the signs were not recognized whatsoever. The UN not only did not get involved,
but took them 3.5 years to respond.
Yeah.
And they knew from day one.
Pulling troops out. So the UN had 2,700 troops to start with and then pulled out to 2,500 troops in and then pulled out and there were 270. So we have a lot to learn. A lot to learn. Are we there yet? Absolutely not. We see now with the Myanmar, with the Rohingya crisis, with the Yazidi crisis in Iraq, we are certainly not there. But hopefully we are recognizing the stages and trying to stop and help while we can and do it quicker.
Tell us about what's happening tomorrow.
So every year, of course, the South African Jewish Board of Deputies is organizing the main commemoration in Cape Town, in Pretoria, in Durban, and here in Johannesburg. So tomorrow, I think it's so important. Please do come and support this memorial. It starts at 12 o'clock at West Park Cemetery. And a part of readings and sharing of the space together, I think there are two really important speakers that will be there. One is Irene Feynman. Irene Feynman was a child survivor. She was 6 years old when she was sent to her first concentration camp in Westerbork. She is the sister of Don Kraus. She was Kraus at home, married to a Feynman. And Irene was then sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp, the biggest concentration camp for women. And she was a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, liked by the SS guards that sort of did not know what to do with this Aryan-looking child. She will share those memories tomorrow. Her story is absolutely fascinating. She was rescued by the Danish Red Cross and the Swedish Red Cross and taken in the end of the war together with her mother to Sweden. Her brother, of course, Don, then was taken to Sachsenhausen and was in the death march. So her story is...
It's a miracle that they both survived.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And I think Irene's story is really unknown. And I would love people to come and listen to this amazing story of survival and rescue. And then we have unbelievable privilege and honor to have a Lord. Lord Kevin Shinquin is coming all the way from the UK, supported by the High Commissioner.
A real Lord.
A real Lord. He is a person with disabilities, and he is coming to tell his story as a person with disability that was in Auschwitz last year, in March of the Living. He was part of the ceremony in Auschwitz last year, and he is alive today and really an activist for disability rights in the UK because his doctor was a Holocaust survivor that survived these dark times and wow. actually gave him life. So I think tomorrow will be really special. And it will be from about 12 to perhaps 1:15 or 1:30. And I really would love people to try and come there in droves.
And is it open to everybody?
It's
Sally?
Open to it's, everyone. It's not for Jewish or, you know, for anyone from that is interested and that is interested Amazing. To listen to survivors. In Johannesburg, we have only about 25 to 30 survivors that are still, you know, sharing their stories. Sure. And I think it's important to come and listen to one.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that there is so much to gain from speaking to you on a more regular basis, both about anti-Semitism, both about genocide. I mean, there's so much I want to ask you. How did we avoid it in South Africa, etc.? It's not the time. I'm hoping that you're going to be a far more regular face. And I hope we chat to you a lot more often, Tali.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.